The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 10, and it's on page 685 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 19, page 1053 in the Pew Bibles. It's a story of Zacchaeus. Beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, we ask for your guidance, your spirit to inspire us as we hear your word today, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, can I say thank you to Ken or Ian or whoever it was who set the timers for the heating today, because we got it right. It was Peter. Thank you, Peter, for getting the clocks sorted ready for this. It's very good to go away on holiday, but it's jolly good to be back home as well. Jane and I were so sad to miss Keith Rush's funeral. We were praying for all of you here on that day. We hear it was packed at Kingsland, and very appropriate and very moving. We were also sad to hear that Wendy Pagden tested positive for COVID and had to pull out of the service last Sunday. Thank you to John Pitts and to Andrew Waters for stepping in at very, very short notice and preaching. And well done all of you for pivoting, as they say these days, and keeping us worshipping the Lord. Now, our Old Testament reading today from Isaiah denounces Israel as a sinful and rebellious generation whose sacrifices and worship are insincere. Your hands are full of blood. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. learn to do right. It's fierce stuff, isn't it? So it's a call to repentance. And literally, that word repentance, it means rethinking. Thinking again, thinking differently. Get your head straight. And then, at the end of the Isaiah reading, God makes the most amazing offer through the prophet. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, God offers to his rebellious nation forgiveness, full and free, a completely clean slate. Sin is like blood on you, guilt contaminating you, but God offers complete cleansing. And this is central both to Judaism and to Christianity. It's the greatest need of humankind. Repentance, turning away from the self-centered and self-serving ways of the world, and turning towards God in obedience to his ways, following his commands. And we do, when we do that freely and sincerely, God forgives. He cleanses us, body and soul, and he gives us a fresh start with him, which we call eternal life. And it gives us so much more than just removing the guilt and the shame. It gives us a restored relationship with our sovereign Father, the creator of heaven and earth and everything, including ourselves. And there's no better place to be than to be at one with God himself. And then our New Testament reading gives us an example of that. One person who did just that. Zacchaeus was not popular. He'd grown wealthy, collecting taxes for the hated Romans, a collaborator with the oppressive empire. I have to tell you, whenever someone asks to get married, I have to just sort of get down a few details, including their occupation or profession. I had a young couple come to me many years ago now, actually, and they were very wary of telling me what their occupation was. I thought, it's all right, you know, it's confidential, Dude, it's okay, you can tell me. They said, we're poll tax collectors. They said. At the time, the lowest of the low, the most hated. Zacchaeus must have been a little bit ashamed, I think, of what he did and who he was. But the little man was intrigued by Jesus. So he climbed a tree to see Jesus pass by. And then Jesus picks him out, already calling him by name, apparently knowing more about little Zacchaeus than he knows about this famous rabbi who's come by. I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus welcomes him gladly, an indication that he wants to change, he wants to do right. And the bottom line, the proof of repentance, is in the language that Zacchaeus knows best, money. And on the spot, he gives half his possessions to the poor. Just imagine doing that for a moment. That's no small thing, is it? Half his possessions, his wealth, his capital, to the poor. And he repays fourfold anyone who claims that Zacchaeus has cheated them. Doesn't appear he's even going to examine the claims. If you claim it, I'll pay you fourfold. That is impressive, isn't it? And Jesus is impressed. And Jesus declares that salvation has come to this house. Why is Zacchaeus so generous? He'd never done that before, I'm sure. Why does he start giving all of a sudden? Something must have shifted in his heart, mustn't it? Like some earthquake within. When Jesus picked him out of the crowd, and told him, I'm coming to your house today. I think he felt God's generosity, blessing a sinner. Up to that point, everybody had put him at the back of the crowd, reviled him, turned him down, said no to him. I think he felt that God had done what society had never done. God had blessed him, and he simply wanted to give back, to restore, to respond in the best way that he knew. He wanted, in our modern political parlance, he wanted to level things up again, to restore the balance of society. While we were away, I read an interesting article, actually about how we might reform our tax regime so that it brings benefit to society as well as income for the Treasury. Christian Aid actually wrote the report Tax for the Common Good way back in 2014, but it's taken a while to percolate through the machinery of government. And they were proposing that taxes don't have to be an oppressive burden, but they can be used for the common good, to feed the poor, to house the homeless, to care for asylum seekers. A well-designed tax regime can reduce inequality and improve social outcomes. For example, income from assets, from wealth and capital gains, those are all currently taxed at a lower rate than income from work. Does that seem right? We could adjust that, couldn't we? We just need the political will to make change happen. Likewise, multinational corporations like Amazon, we need worldwide agreement to tax those corporations wherever they operate, wherever they generate profit, and not allow them to divert their profits into tax havens, low tax regimes. This week, you may have seen, Shell declared record returns at the same time as people are struggling to pay their bills to Shell. It doesn't really seem fair, does it? Isaiah denounces Israel as sinful and tells the people how to change. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Defend the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Notice God's on the side of the downtrodden, the poor, and so should we be. I think instinctively we know that levelling up is the right thing to do, whether it's systematically in our nation or whether it's personally by giving generously to those in need. Keith, bless him, gave us a wonderful example of that by his generous character. Yes. And by his regular encouragement to us in PCC and elsewhere to follow his example as he followed Christ and to be generous. Yes. Isaiah calls us to repent and be forgiven, having our sins washed clean, white as snow. And Zacchaeus shows us an example of doing this when he encounters Christ and willingly and freely and joyfully welcomes Christ into his life and turns his life around. May we gladly do as he did. Amen.
Amen.